Sure, don't miss this. So we'll start with a little bit about content, but first we're going to call the roster. I'm going to try and invite you to kind of share some things, a few details about yourselves with each other. We do talk together a lot in my courses. We talk in small groups, big groups. It's up to you how much, you know, you want to share with others about what's going on in your life, but at least kind of name, rank, and serial number, a little bit about who you are, if you have a connection to food in some way, aside from the fact that you eat it every day, that'd be good. We in my first section, we had a woman whose family owns a meatpacking plant. That's a pretty interesting connection, and a few other kinds of details. So you could tell me how many times you've fallen on the ice this winter. You can tell me. You can tell me about a favorite food. You can tell me if you have a special diet. Some last class I learned about a third of the class had food allergies. So anything that kind of helps identify you to other people in the class. And of course, this is just our first of about 30 opportunities to do that. So if that's okay, I'm going to pause this. And so Tuesday, I'd like you to teach to watch one of those movies and read the Marilyn Nestle. I'll show you how to get that PDF in a few minutes. Okay? So let's go ahead and back up and kind of get clear about the websites in the course, because I haven't really mentioned that yet. And I've got a little handout that kind of makes that a little clearer. If we pass those back, if there's too many, just pass them along the back. Just a few, holler. Okay, so the first website is the first website on this page is the course wiki. So if you go to alfino.org, this is what you'll see, and then from alfino.org, you can go to the wiki, or you can go to courses, and the wiki is mostly. You go to the wiki, then you choose philosophy of food. As you know from this handout, the main reasons you'll use the wiki will be to get the course reading schedule. There's some Google Forms, one of which we're going to use pretty soon. And there's just a lot of information about food on the wiki. There's a reason for me to want you to be able to log into the wiki and be able to post information as well, though that's going to be a relatively infrequent event. The main reason you will want to use the wiki to post information will be to share stuff that you're discovering with the class. So, for example, on the main wiki page, I've done that as I was getting ready for the class by posting these food resources. They're pretty random, but, you know, one thing to add to your to-do list is to click on some of the links on the wiki, to browse the wiki. And as you guys come up with things that you run across about food, I'd like you to be able to post them to the wiki. The alternative is that you write it to me as an email and then I have to do it. There's more extensive uses of the wiki, but the main idea for logging into the wiki is that you'll click on login, and then the first time you do it, you'll click on join Alfino, and then the information you'll put in there will be your GU network login. So that's all on this handout, right? Right, first time login, click join Alfino, use GU network login. Okay, everybody good with that? Yeah.
Do you post anything to Blackboard, like grades?
Blackboard, I don't use Blackboard. Okay. I have a strong aversion to Blackboard. Don't get me started on Blackboard. Okay. So yeah, go ahead and learn how to post things on the wiki. As I said, it's not going to be a frequent thing. But once you click on the Join Alfino button, then you just need to, in the future, you just use your GU credentials and you log in. You'll know you're logged in when you see the edit screen. And I'd like you to go to the student practice page. There's a short guide to wiki edits. It's really easy. You don't even have to be able to do that much of this. But the quick version is to just go to the practice page. And oh, look, some people. That's great. Grenades. that's really hilarious. Is Grenades here? That was in our, that's really funny. So you can post. You can post. The ethics class is also posting really funny things. Like fun facts. They all got into a pattern of posting fun facts, and some of the fun facts are kind of weird. I love this. Is great. See, what happens is like a pattern gets started. So somebody posts something weird, and then the next person's like, oh, I got one too. Anyway, you don't have to try to top each other, but it's just kind of good to know that you can do this. And just to see, just to demystify, you can see that a link in Wiki, a link is just, you just put it around brackets, and then this is the Wikipedia software. It's just locally running on a GU server, right? So, it's really funny. Okay, so that tells me that class is going to be a little unusual. So, that's the first website. Any questions about that? We good? A little nonverbal? Thanks. Great. Isn't that wonderful? It's okay to smile while you're nodding, too. It's good. It even looks better. Okay, so the other one would be if you went to alfino.org and then you went to courses. So we can call this courses.alfino. We can call it the course management site, right? It's like what would have been Blackboard if I had the bad sense to use Blackboard. And then you go to philosophy of food, and then eventually we'll have the roster up. That's where the assignments are. That's where your grade information is. That's where you make choices about optional assignments. That's where you upload assignments. So the course management software does some of the things that Blackboard does, obviously. It just, you'll see why. Well, there's lots of reasons, but I'll get into the assignments in a minute. What I'd like to ask you to do now is, if you have a connected device, a phone, a laptop, a tablet, if you could take it out, I'd like you to register for the class roster. You can do this after class. You don't have, if you don't have any device,
are we still registering?
You know, you need to do it again.
With my login, right?
Did it work?
Mm-hmm.
And you have access to everything?
Yep.
That's cool.
So.
Well, maybe they don't know, but you're not on the roster. I'd like you to be on the roster, because otherwise when I send emails, it won't go to you. Right. So what I'd like you to do is go to alfino.org, go to the wiki. Let's see, let me back us up here. Oops. So go to the wiki, you guys with me, then go to philosophy of food, and then you'll see forms and class audio. Everybody see where the cursor is on the screen? Roster information, click on that. And then fill out that form. Okay.
Under roster information, after you fill it out, is there anything?
Submit, and you're good. Okay, raise your hand if you did that, if you accomplished that. Okay, if you need a couple minutes, that's fine, keep doing it. Okay, so let's talk about assignments. One of the things that I like to do is specify part of your work and give you options to choose assignments that might be motivating to you. So the default assignments in the course are these two. You'll see that it says required here, final essays. You'll write two medium-length essays in the last week of the semester. Everything but quizzes are open book, open note. There are no memory tests in this course except the reading quizzes, which I'll tell you about. But those essays can be weighted between 30 and 40% of your grade. The other required element is called Q&R, although I can't remember what the R stands for. And these are short assignments that have points associated with them. Most classes will begin with a reading quiz. And I need to tell you why that is really important to me, but I'm not going to do that right now. There will be also assignments under Q&R that are short writing assignments. There'll be, maybe sometimes we'll be in small groups, and your group will have to submit some text, and we'll look at that. So in other words, Q&R is a grab bag of lots of short point-based assignments, and it's required. The weight on your grade can be between 30 and 60%. So right now, you could all just do those two things for the maximum, and you'd be all set. So that's a complete grading scheme. Are you with me? But there might be reasons why you would want to lower the percentage of these somewhat to make room for optional assignments, okay? So let's take a look at some of the optional assignments. And this is, again, in the spirit of laying out a buffet, a smorgasbord, if you will. And hopefully I've chosen things that are interesting to some of you. If there's other things that you don't see here that you are wondering about doing, come see me about it, okay? So I'll first go through the ones that are pretty straightforward. Journals. If you're a journal writer, you can write 3 journals anytime during the semester. You choose the dates, 5% of your grade. It's a nice way for us to have a little bit of an interaction that's kind of, you know, directly between you and me, and I respond to them, and you know, so if you like writing journals, that might be something you would choose. You may want to watch additional food movies, read a book with some people in the class. Remember, there's 2 sections of this class. You can make, you can do this with people from the other section as well. You'll be able to see the roster for them as well. I'll suggest food books. You'll see some food books and some food movies on the wiki. And then the 2 that I need to take you back to the wiki to explain are the diet review and improvement and the food systems research or food activism. And so these are explained on the wiki, and you can read these for yourselves, but I'm just going to show you briefly. It's a completely optional choice, but you could choose to do between 1 and 4 steps here. And they're timed to the parts of the semester when we're learning things you need to know to do this. But if you want to use this course to systematically think about your own diet, like what you eat, you could do that by either doing 1, 2, 3, or all 4 of these steps, and each one would be 5% of a grade. So when you look at this over at the course management site, it's 5 to 20%, because you could do, you know, up to 4 steps. What it involves, the step first, you can read this yourself, but basically the first step is to create a baseline diet using a diet tracking site like MyFitnessPal or one of the others. The second step would be to make some changes in your diet. These are some suggested changes. You can make your own choices. Big choices, I would wait until step 4. Because I'd like you to have read the nutrition chapters before you consider making changes that involve deleting meat or only eating meat or, you know, deleting fish or adding fish or whatever, you know. I'd like you to have that information, so that stays till step 4. But by step 3, by the point in the semester when step 3 is due early April, you will be in a position to make a pretty good analysis of your diet. So you see how these steps build on each other? You can choose 1, 2, 3, or all 4. All right. Does that make sense? Yeah. A little more nonverbal? Okay. Okay, so foods, and again, this is completely optional. You know, food system research, food journalism, food activism is a list, it's a laundry list of things that I want to suggest as potential research interests. And we can just look at them quickly. I have a pet peeve about this store in town that sells peppers from Holland. I don't understand why we're eating peppers from Holland in the middle of winter. Sodexo would be an interesting target to investigate. They do some good things, and they do some horrible things. I joke to people that you're buying airplane food for 4 years when you eat Sodexo food. But some people have corrected me and said, no, Sodexo does some good things. So, how does an enterprise like Sodexo, good thing for the business majors, for example, how does an enterprise like Sodexo make sourcing choices? How do they honor people's dietary choices? Do they do a good job of that? Right? That might be an interesting thing to look into. I would encourage you guys to get out in the community. This dairy in Othello is fascinating to me. They look like they're doing really interesting stuff. Their products are amazing. I think there might be, if somebody wants to be really adventuresome, get a group together and go visit them. Visiting food producers is tricky because they don't always want to show you what's going on. But this is a dairy that is in a different spirit. There, you go to their website and it's like, hey, come on, we'll show you around. If you go to a chicken farm, you will be arrested. you cannot look inside a chicken house because they don't want you to take pictures of what's going on there. Anyway, we'll learn more about that. So I would encourage you to get out in the community, visit a bread factory, go to somebody who's doing something great, go to somebody who's doing something industrial, learn about it, see it up close. You can also go, a good excuse to go to a restaurant, hey, mom, dad, I need a little extra money this semester. I'm choosing the assignment where we go to a lot of restaurants. No, I don't know if that'll work. But, on the other end of the scale, you could, there are like 30 organic ranches and farms around Spokane. If you've ever wondered what a high-end, egg production, organic egg production facility looks like, call one up. Go visit. See what things look like. Read about it. You'll have an opportunity to read about different ways that people certify, food production according to certain values, like humane, chemical-free, and so on. Food security is an interesting topic. Your volunteering reminds me of this as well, that you could learn about the food distribution system that serves food banks, community food pantries, and free meals. There are meals being given out all through downtown every day of the week to people who are homeless and food insecure. You could, it just occurred to me, you could choose a volunteering experience in connection with that. That might be interesting. There are lots of food movies and book group opportunities. Here's a short list of some books that I'd recommend. There's a lot more. Come by the office. We'll talk about books. There's a link on the wiki for more movies. You can Google best food movies. You'll get a list of another 30. I think I chose some from there. So there's just lots of interesting things you can do to pursue particular curiosities on your part, to ask questions of people in the community who are doing things with food. And so that's what I mean by, that kind of falls under the assignment called food movies and books. Questions? Short-term research is a generic assignment it often happens when a student is in a class and they say, wow, okay, there's a very specific question. I want to answer that question. And so it's not like a big philosophy paper. It's more like, I'm going to do some extra research. For instance, here's an example. Egg layers have to be female hens. What happens to the guys? Well, male layers aren't raised in this country to be eaten. Those are broilers. It's interesting that we identify the species, the subspecies, by how we're going to eat it. There's layers who lay eggs, and there's broilers who we broil. And so there's nothing in between. So the guy layers are usually just thrown into a chipper. Because, and they're cute little chicks. It's not a good thing to do to guys, right? So they're usually just kind of chipped away. But there's a new technology which I'd love to learn about. It has to do with genetics, where you don't produce guy chicks. You see what I mean? So now you're not throwing little guy chicks in the chipper. So that would be a short-term research interest. I don't know the answer to that. Have we gotten there? What does that involve? Does it solve the ethical concern about destroying male chicks? Is there an ethical concern about destroying male chicks? I don't know. Is farm-raised fishing getting better? That's another one that I've read about, but I don't know about. And so I like to use my students as researchers. So I want to kind of encourage you to be curious. If you have a curiosity that comes up in the course and you want to get credit for resolving it, choose an optional assignment relevant to it, right? Okay? Does that make sense? Are we good? All right, we're almost done. So you'll get to make some choices on your grading scheme, and everybody understands maybe that that involves reducing the maximums to make room for that. Okay. Quiz policy real quick, because this is something I forgot to mention in the other class. I don't do makeup quizzes, but I do have some categories for excused quizzes. So if you're sick, if you're representing the university off campus, if you're going to a job interview, those sorts of things, and we do a quiz that day, you won't receive a zero. You won't receive anything. So when we calculate your quiz grade, there will be a different number of possible points. You see what I mean? For each student, depending upon what classes you've been excused from those quizzes. And then we'll do a percentage basis, right? So if you're an athlete or a debater and you travel a lot, your Q&R score will be based on fewer assignments, but there's no need to make up quizzes. If the assignment involves writing a paragraph, then you can probably still do it if you're on the road. When you recover from being ill, you can probably turn in the paragraph. So those kinds of things don't need to be excused. Okay. We'll have probably some more practical questions about so many things I want to tell you now, but I'm going to hold off. Click on some of these links. Jennifer Van Cott is a really interesting woman who's a GU grad. You're going to meet her. She runs a business called Pantry Fuel, and she and I are talking about creating a couple of cooking class opportunities for you that would be optional. But she's just a really interesting person who I got to know last year. You can click on that link and see what Pantry Fuel is up to. It's kind of one of these food delivery services, but it's also kind of has a kind of a nutritional orientation. She's a really interesting person. So there's a lot of cool things. You should definitely play the weird old songs. Where were those?
What was the Taco Bell scandal?
The Taco Bell scandal, oh my God. In the early 90s, when you were not even a glimmer in your parents' eyes. Taco Bell killed some people with E. coli poisoned meat. So E. coli, it's a, no, they didn't murder anybody.
It was
they
way
killed
too long
people.
Of a pause.
Yeah, sorry. And so this guy, Marler Clark, he was the lawyer who settled that case, and he became a big food liability advocate. It's a pretty interesting story, but it's a sad story. Remember, that was when you wouldn't remember this. Taco Bell, no, it wasn't Taco Bell, it was Jack in the Box. Did I say Taco Bell? Oh, I'm sorry. No, not Taco Bell. It's Jack in the Box. You know, they rebranded Jack in the Box. That's when you got the big head, the Jack in the Box head guy. There's some weird miscellaneous things here. Click on some of it, and so if you don't see your name on the roster by tomorrow at noon, or you have trouble logging in, email me. Okay. And then we'll just take it from there. Okay, stick around if you have any questions. See you on Tuesday.